radio.org.au.
My highlight of Ignite was probably the reconciliation. Helped me open up myself and just have another chance at life and dump everything I need to dump out and have another go.
My highlight of Ignite was prayer teams. It really gave me an opportunity to connect on a personal level with God.
I went to prayer teams and it was absolutely amazing. It was a really fulfilling experience. I experienced the Holy Spirit as well, which sounds a bit funny, but it touched me so deeply and I can't wait to come back next year.
Was it the second night rally where we did the adoration? That was just an incredible experience. Like, it was honestly life-changing for me.
My highlight was definitely prayer teams because it was a new experience for me and I learned to become closer to God and I really felt something.
So my highlight was probably last night at the Holy Spirit night. I was really moved. Like, I probably spent the majority of the night just crying. I was just really in awe and I was so lifted and moved by the music and the environment I was surrounded by and all the people. It was just an amazing night last night, so yeah.
My highlight was definitely reconciliation. There was a sense of freedom that came with it. After I came out, I felt physically lighter and there was a certain peace I felt in my mind and also like deep in my heart. It sounds cheesy, but it's really, really true.
Hi, I'm Sarah and you're listening to Cradio. Today I'm talking to Shane Bennett. Shane is the moderator of Emmanuel Community in Brisbane. He's been working for over 35 years in evangelization. He was instrumental in establishing NET ministries in Australia and Uganda, and he currently also lectures at the Holy Spirit Seminary in Brisbane. Shane, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I know you've been very busy, having just come off the Ignite conference as well.
Thanks, Sarah. It's good to have a chat.
After going to the Ignite conference, it's such a huge conference, like pretty amazing thing happening in Australia up in Brisbane and attracting people from around Australia. And then learning so much about all these other projects that have been coming out of Emmanuel Community. So I just wanted to ask you a bit about the Emmanuel Community, just an overview of what it is and the ministries that are coming out of it.
So the Emmanuel Community began in Brisbane in 1975. With four families and one single person who were really, it emerged out of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. When people experienced a desire for more than just a weekly prayer meeting, that they discovered this new sense of the power of the Spirit in their lives and really wanted to give expression to that through a way of life rather than just to attend a prayer meeting. So that was really its origins, and of course, nearly 40 years later, we have our 40th anniversary next year. We're still trying to respond to the Holy Spirit leading us as a community. You know, we describe ourselves as a mission community in the Archdiocese of Brisbane. We have formal canonical recognition from the Archdiocese and are part of a network of communities internationally who are recognized by the Holy See. So, you know, I guess we have two really important elements to our lifestyle, and that is to live a committed way of life, a Catholic lifestyle, and secondly, we don't do that as an end in itself, but as we know that we live the life that we have in order to share it with others and in order to respond to the call to mission. So that's a little bit of a very quick overview.
And just to give an idea of some of the missions that have come out of it, I mean, there's Blind Eye Ministries, which administers to the homeless, to Indigenous people, and also has a pro-life mission. There's Emmanuel Seniors, Emmanuel Worship, who make music, Heart to Hearts, Ignite Youth, which was formed last year, Impact, Young Families, Young Men of God, who many people would have heard of as well. So it seems to be a ministry that's really flourishing. Is this a vision that existed from the beginning or something that's just, has it surprised you?
Well, there's certainly been some surprises along the way. But you've got to understand that the various ministry dimensions come out of our life together. And, you know, for example, the Emmanuel Seniors has come out of the fact that everybody's getting older. And I think one of the things that often happens is that as people get older, they feel like they have less of a place or a part to play. And by establishing Emmanuel Seniors, we wanted to say that, sure, it's okay to age within a community, and it's okay not to necessarily live out the same level of commitment, but there's still a place of belonging, there's still a place of mission if you are capable of doing that mission. And, you know, many people well into, well, I'm not even going to name an age because, you know, we've had members of our community in their 90s who are still exercising a great mission according to what they can at that time. So, you know, the youth, Ignite Youth has really emerged as, because of our various ministries with young people, and I guess our commitment, you know, for us, we experienced that it's just not enough to have an event, that we've actually got to try and follow it up in different ways. And so these different ministries emerged, and the whole of our outreach to youth, which is beyond the community, which is reaching out to the broader community, if you like, we've put together under the title of Ignite Youth, and that has many different manifestations in itself, including the Ignite Conference, which is a little bit of the flagship. You know, one of the exciting things about Blind Eye Ministry, which has emerged more in recent years, for a long time we used to have members of our community actually joining other ministries that reached out to the poor or to the homeless. And, you know, it was a matter of finding the right person to lead the ministry. And, you know, Robbie Curtis, who's come on board and has been the leader of this ministry, who has an incredible heart for people who are marginalized and for Indigenous people and for the whole pro-life area. You know, we've just been able to open a drop-in centre in South Brisbane, which is one of the centres of homelessness, I guess, in Brisbane. And to offer a place, a safe place during the day where people can come, where somebody will meet with them, will talk with them. If they want someone to pray with them, well, that's available as well. But really, it's a matter of trying to meet the human person. But at the same time, we have found many who are seeking God in the situation. And as Pope Benedict says, that we don't want to hold back from people the greatest gift that we can offer. But it's not the first gift we offer. It's, in terms of our outreach, it's a focus on caring for the needs of the poor and homeless and trying to reach them on a fundamental level.
You mentioned earlier that these various ministries, it flows out of that life of community. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I think it's something that we're sort of losing with young people having a tendency now to sort of refrain from commitment or sort of hop around and move from one place to the next. But, I mean, you've been involved in community since you were very young. Could you maybe talk to the value of that? Do you think that there's a tendency now not to commit to community, and what are we losing out on if that's the case?
I think it is true. You know, like I see that even with Catholic couples who are moving towards marriage, and they're asking, I think the cultural climate says, you know, can you really do this? Can you really commit to one person? I know some of my wife's friends who she went to school with who've moved on a little bit since then, and you know, they have a reunion every so often, and they'll say to Chanel, "Are you still married to the same guy?" As if it's, you know, this unique reality. And so, yes, we have found that within young people, there's not only a reluctance to commit, but such an uncertainty about the future. And I think those two things are tied together. There's an uncertain future, and they then wonder, well, can I commit? Can I commit to one partner for life? Because, you know, we see nearly one in two marriages breaking down. And that's why we have made provision for young people to be around the community and to join in the mission of the community without making a formal commitment. And in a lot of ways, we don't push that very hard, because it's really for many people, and what we see is for many young couples, it's not until they're thinking about having children that they're thinking about the necessity for more stability in their lives. And that's one of the things that community life offers. But, you know, I think in the midst of instability, to have a community that's stable, that's ongoing, that will be there for them, I think is incredibly important. It's not unlike what parents are today in the midst of their teenagers who are so inconsistent. You know, the challenge for parents is to be very consistent and to be a support in the process of their teenagers growing into adulthood and being more clear about who they are and the choices they're making in life. So I'd agree with you. We are losing out to a certain extent, and individualism is rampant even in the life of the church. And so, you know, we've got to keep engaging with the culture to understand the context that we're living in, and then the way of life that we are offering to others. So that's one of our huge challenges, in fact.
Shane, I'd be interested to know, I think I mentioned earlier, you've been involved with the community since very early on. It formed in 75, you joined in 76. You were in a leadership position by the time you were 25, if I'm correct.
Yep, correct, yes.
It'd be interesting to know, what set you out on that journey? I mean, you've dedicated quite a significant portion of your life to this form of discipleship. What set you out on that journey?
I was in my last year in high school. And I guess, you know, I'd grown up in a Catholic family. I was at a Catholic school being taught by priests. I'd heard the message of the gospel. However, it had not become personal for me. And towards the end of grade 12, I was really in a place where I have to know the truth of this. I have to know whether God is real. I have to know whether going to church each week is actually something worthwhile. And so it sort of set me on a search to discover if God was real. And, you know, there was a regular prayer meeting at our school and run by one of the priests, which I'd carefully avoided for the 12 months prior to that. And just before final exams, the priest caught a few of us in the library and said, "Hey, why don't you guys come along to the prayer meeting this afternoon?" And we said, no thanks. And he said, "Your exams start on Monday. If I were you, I'd be praying about now." So anyway, we went along, and you know, I really didn't like it very much. The people seemed far too happy to be praying, because everyone knows that prayer isn't something you enjoy. At least that's what I thought back then. And anyway, towards the end of the time, some of the teachers offered to pray with students and for any needs they might have or anything. And by this stage, I was beginning to walk towards the door when one of the teachers came to me and said, "Has anyone prayed with you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, would you like me to pray with you?" And, you know, in the midst of being, I guess, a little bit standoffish, I said, okay. Because there was still that search inside of me. By this stage, I'd almost given up on it, because I thought, you know, I'd tried, I couldn't find anything, I couldn't connect in any way. I was not convinced at all that God was real. And so for a moment, this teacher began to pray with me, and, you know, first up my friends were laughing because I'd got caught, and so I was pretty distracted for a minute or two. And then they just sort of faded into the background, and believe it or not, I had an encounter with Christ in that moment that I could probably never explain adequately to anyone, except that I knew that God was real, that Jesus loved me at that moment. And I just found an incredible joy in my life. And within a week, in fact, I was standing under the shower one day, a week later, and I just had this incredible conviction that if this can happen for me, how many other people are out there like me searching and not finding answers? And I just felt I had to tell the whole world. So that was the beginning, and the rest is a very long story. And that has continued to be the drive in my life, the reality of Christ in my own life, seeking to live with the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, and a longing to share with others the joy that encountering Christ has brought into my own life and the difference that makes.
And indeed, the work that's coming out of the Emmanuel community is fruitful in that respect. I was sitting on a bus on the way back from Ignite conference hearing the stories of the young people, of their experience of the conference, that weren't dissimilar to what you just shared. So, you know, the Holy Spirit's continuing to work.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the really exciting part was, you know, there are so many other people who are motivated by the same relationship with Christ, by the same enthusiasm of the Holy Spirit to share that joy. And I think if there's one thing that young people need in today's world, it's joy. And we actually, as Christians, don't talk a lot about it. And that's not such a bad thing, as long as we show it. You know, I always remember the late Bishop Joe Grech talking to one of his contemporaries and saying, you know, you say you have a relationship with Christ and you say that you're joyful. Why don't you tell your face about it? And because the person he was talking to always looked sad, always looked somber and strict. And, you know, that little expression, why don't you tell your face about it if you're so happy? And, but I think it's a message, it's a reality that young people often lack in their lives, that sense of joy and of being at peace with who they are and knowing that they're loved. Even though they can come from very loving families, there's, you know, I guess the reality of St. Augustine's words that our hearts are restless until they rest in God ring true in that situation.
Just to finish up, Shane, one last question. So, as I said, you've been working over 35 years in evangelization, mm-hmm. in ministry. What to you would be the most important lessons that you have learned over that time?
There are so many. you know, in the spiritual life, I think the reality of, or the virtue of humility is something that's really critical, and coupled with an honesty about our faith and where we're at, and you know, that recognition that we are all sinners in need of God's mercy, I think is fundamental. And I think Pope Francis captures that in a profound way, that, you know, when each of us recognizes our need for mercy, we understand ourselves as no better than anybody else, that we stand in need of God's grace and God's love, and that we share a common humanity in need of Christ's salvation. I think that's one of the fundamental things. You know, so many young people, and talked to many on the weekend, you know, trying to figure out how they can love God or sort of conjure up this desire within them for God. And once again, I think Pope Francis, in his words, and he's re-echoing one of the epistles of John, when he says the best way that we can love God is to allow God to love us. And I think a couple of those things are quite foundational. In terms of ministry in the church, I think we can easily get discouraged and disillusioned from within it's not necessarily from without. It's hard enough, you know, when you're in terms of evangelization, and there's plenty of people who say no, and that's okay. It's when you expect support from within the church and you don't find it there. I think that's one of the hardest things, particularly for young people. You know, at last year's Ignite, I was talking to a young person who'd come back from World Youth Day and wanted to establish something in the parish, and the only meeting place was in the church hall. And they were refused the use of the church hall. Now, things like that can bring all sorts of discouragement and disillusionment. And, you know, the reality that we deal with young people today is if you do not receive them, if there is not a place to welcome them, they will go somewhere else. And many have gone to other churches. And, you know, I think where possible, all of those who have some position of leadership in the church should be as encouraging as possible and seeking to encourage young people to find a place in the life of the church. And I think that's a really big challenge today.
And indeed, Pope Francis is setting a precedent for that. He's asked for an open and accident-prone church.
Yeah, in a church that actually takes risks and... you know, in a church which is largely in maintenance mode, that sounds very dangerous. But what he's trying to do is to shift us away from a maintenance mentality into a mission mentality. And sometimes mission is on the edge. You know, it's not always clear. It's not always safe. It's not always done the way that some people would think it should be done, and it's messy. But lives are messy, you know. Everything isn't just neat and tidy and tied in a little package. So I think this is the reality. If we are to become a more missionary church, we have to be able to deal with those situations that in fact are messy, and that's people's lives, and you know, that's why there's a great need for compassion, for mercy, for love, and what he would term as the revolution of tenderness.
Amen. Thank you again for your time today, Shane.
You are very welcome.
And thanks especially for the work that you've been doing for the church.
Thank you. Thank you.
For those who are interested in learning more about the Emmanuel community, you can head to emmanuelcommunity.com.au, and there are links to the various ministries within the community. Have a great day, Shane, and safe travels. Okay. I know you're off jet setting again.
Well, I'm actually heading to Rome in a few weeks' time, where I think we're actually having a meeting with Pope Francis, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well,
so God bless you now.
You've been listening to Shane Bennett, the moderator of the Emmanuel Community in Brisbane. To find out more about the community, you can visit emmanuelcommunity.com.au. Or to find out more about Ignite Youth or Ignite Conference, visit igniteyouth.com. For more news, talks and interviews, visit cradio.org.au.
cradio.org.au